Well, good morning. Thank you so much, Andrea. It was so breathtaking. It's always and only love. You could hear it in that music, couldn't you? In 1 Corinthians, Paul tells us, "If I could speak all the languages of the earth and of angels, but don't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy, and if I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all his knowledge, and if I had such faith and I could move mountains, but didn't love others, it would be for nothing. If I gave everything I had to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it. But if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing." He goes on to say that three things will last forever: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. I hope by the end of my talk this morning, you'll be able to see that the opportunity to give and receive and express and feel love is everywhere, all around you, all the time. Every minute of every day. As many of you know, I recently returned from an amazing Hawaiian vacation. It was made possible in part by the love that many of you have for Marv and me. Feels like a dream. I can't believe it happened. What you may not know is that this whole thing started as Marv and my love for all of you. This opportunity was born out of a year of frustration, tears, worry, and yes, arguments that Marv and I had over a difficult accessibility lift project. Those of you who lived through it with us know that there was a lot of blood, sweat, and tears shed by all of us. And as you know, we were really committed to finishing that project and making sure that we had a dependable way for all of our members and visitors to get into and out of this building and share in everything that happens here. We're now able to serve our long-standing members who need mobility assistance and anyone else who comes in these doors. We can have a kid in a wheelchair come in and he can go down and be with Jacqueline and the kids. We can include visitors who want to come for Sunday service and a cup of coffee downstairs afterwards. And we were able to do it all by maintaining the integrity and the beauty of this glorious building. 108-year-old building that just holds my heart. It was truly a labor of love. That was the vision Marv had many years ago when we first started talking about this. And for all his hard work, you blessed us beyond measure. When we were first offered this gift, I couldn't accept it. I couldn't believe it. I felt unworthy. I felt we simply didn't deserve it. No, we didn't do anything special. We did no more or no less than anyone else would have done, and the gift was just simply too generous. Marv and I did talk about it. We fantasized a little about what it might be like to accept the gift, spend his birthday and our 31st wedding anniversary in Hawaii in the fall, but I stalled and stalled and stalled making the plans. Kevin kept asking me, "Have you booked it yet? Have you booked it yet? Have you booked it yet?" And I couldn't. I couldn't accept my prosperity. I couldn't accept the gift. Kevin persistently explained this gift came from people with very grateful hearts, that they truly were so thrilled to give this to us, and that it was my obligation to allow them to give this gift. And accept it and enjoy it and relish it. You all truly believed it was better to give than to receive. So, that idea that it's better to give than receive, where does that come from? What's that based on? comes from love, right? That feeling of giving something to someone that you know they will love to have. Sacrificing for someone you care about. We all know that feeling when we have a gift that we're going to give someone and we cannot wait for Christmas morning because we know they're going to be so thrilled to get it. Have you ever given them their Christmas present early because you couldn't stand it? I have. I know what that feels like. Well, that's what Kevin says it was. So we booked the trip and we started looking forward to celebrating Marv's birthday and 31 years of marriage in paradise. Woohoo. So, this sabbatical was really needed. You know what sabbatical is? It comes from a Greek word meaning the Sabbath, the seventh day, the day of rest, the day we celebrate God. This break allowed me to read, journal, rest, explore, discover, celebrate, strengthen my relationship with God, and strengthen my relationship with my husband. I didn't realize how much I needed the rest, and I did not know how much the glory of Hawaii would impact me on this trip. Hawaii is chock full of spiritual feelings for me. It's as though the very soil of the land is infused with the Spirit of God. Standing on that soil made from lava, it feels like holy ground to me. I love the feeling of standing there and being simultaneously on the newest ground and yet the oldest ground that comes from the center of the earth. Floating in the ocean, I have the feeling that I'm floating in the love of God. It reminds me that in the beginning there was only love, that we come from love and we return to love. I thought about that every day as I watched the sun rise and set and watched the waves crash on the beach, watching the steady, ongoing, never-ending dependability of those acts of nature. Think about it for a minute. The sun has risen and set every single day for millions of years backwards into the past, and it will do so for millions of years forward into the future. The waves have crashed upon the beach every single day for millions of years backwards into the past and will do so for millions of years into the future. The nature and beauty of Hawaii reminds me of the love of God, a love that has no beginning and no end. These visible signs look like God in action, dependable, something you can always count on, never ending. And it all started with love. I thought about this every morning as I was floating in the pool right before daybreak, looking up into that deep blue sky, and every afternoon floating in the glorious Pacific Ocean, feeling the ebb and flow of the waves. Love never ends. Love never ends. So during Jesus' time on earth, what did he try to teach us about love? We're trying to learn that, aren't we? Trying to internalize the lesson. One of the books I read while I was in Hawaii is Mary Read's book, Unwitting Mystic, Evolution of the Message of Love, in which she says, why do people go to church to learn about Jesus when he's right here in your heart? Can't you hear him? We look outside for the answers, but truthfully, we know they're in us, don't we? It's as close as hands and feet. Yet we continue to search outside ourselves. So, yes, of course we can hear Jesus inside of us. In every situation that inspires or requires an action on our part, Jesus told us the answer. It's love. Jesus said, love is the most important commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than this. When I'm travel, I'm reminded that my neighbor comes in every size and shape and color. I love Hawaii because it's a melting pot of visitors from all over the world, a culinary delight of food, a mixture of cultures. I constantly hear people speaking different languages, and I'm reminded that the face of God comes in every form. We had an incident at breakfast one morning at a sidewalk cafe. that allowed us to practice loving our brother as ourselves. A gentleman experiencing homelessness walked down the sidewalk past our table, and after I smiled at him, he came over to the table. We had a brief conversation with him. He was pleasant, he appeared happy, and I enjoyed that brief moment of humanity we shared with him. We shared a moment of love. Another thing Jesus told us is that his followers will be known by the trademark, not just by our words, but by our actions. Everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. And that love is full of mercy. Jesus said, which of these do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? The expert in the law said, the one who had mercy on him. So back to the guy at the sidewalk cafe. A few minutes after he left our table, I heard him yelling and swearing. I couldn't understand exactly what he was saying, but he was really upset. All eyes in the restaurant were trained on him, and I immediately started to pray for him. I caught his eye, and I smiled at him again, and all of a sudden, he was back at our table edge, yelling right at me. I was surprised and a bit embarrassed because all of a sudden, everybody was looking at me, too, but I felt a calm and a peace settle over me. I was able to see his anguish and his humanity, and my only thought was, I love you, I love you, I love you. And within a moment, he turned around and left. Jesus also said, love unifies us. You will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. The beauty of nature was all around us, reminding us that God is in everything, just like the ocean is in every individual drop, and God is in every single one of us. And this reminded me, too, that we're all one, and what happens to one of us affects everyone else. One afternoon in our condo in Maui, we all of a sudden heard a man screaming. I had no idea there was so much screaming in Hawaii, now that I think about it. He was in the condo below us, and he was yelling, and I could hear the sounds of physical violence from the condo below. And as it escalated, I called security, and I went downstairs to meet them. I stood outside the door, and I prayed for them. And I will never know how that was resolved or what happened to them. But I was reminded again how what happens to one of us affects us all. Everywhere I looked, I saw the glory of God. One of the things that we did when we were on Maui, and many of you may have had the opportunity to do that, we went to Haleakala, to the volcano. And now, this is a big deal on Maui if you've never been there. It's at the national park, and if you want to see sunrise, you have to make a reservation. So many people go for sunrise, you can't get in. We wanted sunset. We wanted to gaze at the stars. So we took the trek up the mountain, 10,023 feet above sea level, and we were there for sunset. So pre-sunset, imagine westerly facing as though you're on the edge of the earth, and people are all lined up along the edge. And as the sun set, people started clapping and cheering. But then the craziest thing happened. Everybody left. There were like 10 cars left in the parking lot. The sun was set, and they were out of there. Well, we were cold, but we had a little more tenacity, and we stayed. And what they missed when they left was the spectacular part of the show, because as the sun set further below the horizon, all of a sudden, you could see this bright pink all the way around, 360 degrees all the way around in the sky, and a band of the most amazing turquoise blue right below it. And we're at 10,000 feet. The air is crystal clear. It's as though you could reach out and touch the color. And then, as the sky got darker and the stars started to pop out, we looked up, and from horizon to horizon, you could see the Milky Way spread out in all its glory over the top of us. And I thought, that's where God is. God is here on this mountain. We're all made of stardust, aren't we? So then our adventure on the Big Island was a helicopter ride. Now, if you know me, you know I am a geek about flying. Have you ever heard that phrase? I love airplanes so much I fall over backwards. I'm like that. I fall over backwards looking at airplanes. And so a helicopter ride just seemed like the best thing in the world to do. So for our 31st wedding anniversary, we got on a helicopter and we flew around the Big Island. And there is something about being in the air like that. I know God doesn't live up there, but I feel closer to God because to me, flying is a miracle. It shouldn't work, but it does. And so we flew for 2 hours in this helicopter. We saw a 1,200-foot waterfall in a valley that you can't get to any way but by helicopter. We flew over the volcano. We looked 1,000 feet into the ground and saw the sulfur vents coming out of the volcano. We got to see the grandeur and glory of that island. We got to see the hand of God in a way that we wouldn't have been able to see if we hadn't been flying. Now, many of you who know me know I'm what I like to refer to as a happy crier. I have a really happy life, and I cry more because I'm happy or my heart is touched by something than I ever do by sadness. I cry at the sunset, I cry at the Milky Way, I cry at a helicopter flight. So I just want you to know I did a lot of crying and I had a really good time. So now that I'm home and I have a little re-entry to go through, I look around and I think, so where is God here? Well, he's in these mountains. You can't look out the windows in the Pacific Northwest and not see the glory of God in these mountains. We have glorious sunsets. We have amazing sunrises. We have the same Pacific Ocean, but you will never find me swimming in it. I thought about it on the way into work this morning, and I thought, I really do love Washington, but we are literally quite consistently 20 degrees colder than Kona. I don't know how that happens. So I was reminded through this journey that we never know how the experiences of our life that we might label challenging are going to shape and mold us. They often lead us to a greater experience. They improve our life in big and small ways. A very difficult year of construction led us to the Hawaiian vacation of our dreams. Who knew? An uncomfortable experience in a Kona restaurant led to a free breakfast and an even more important realization that the way we handled a desperate homeless man was being watched closely and deeply impacted many people sitting around us. All of these opportunities are always an opportunity to love. In Mary Read's book, she says, "More and more I can see we are thinking differently as a world. We are thinking more lovingly, more peacefully, more inclusively, more joyfully, despite being shouted at incessantly by the media and religious and political leaders telling us the world is going to hell in a handbasket and it's a sure sign of Armageddon. Today, I know change is coming, and it's not the conflict-centered, fear-driven story of Armageddon. It is love, like we have never dared to imagine. I see this love with absolute certainty. It is coming. In fact, it is arriving more and more every day. It's arriving in me and you and in people everywhere. There is great love coming like a tidal wave, like the force of 1,000 winds. It is unstoppable, and you should welcome it when it comes." Being surrounded by all the beauty and love of the Hawaiian Islands, I'm reminded of a verse from A Course in Miracles. When you want love, you will see nothing else. So in closing, I'd like to say thank you, thank you, thank you, as only the Course in Miracles can. Happiness cannot be far behind a grateful heart and a thankful mind. Thank you.